Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, most of all, for being in our midst today, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. Please, Lord, draw us. Cause us to run after you. Cause us to be holy. Lord, help us, Lord, to submit to your word in our speech, in our attitudes. Let us give grace, forgiveness, blessings to people who don't deserve it, just as we wish to deserve these things. Help us to sow what we need to reap. Since your word is very plain about that whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. Help us to sow, Lord, what we want to reap. Lord, how many of your people suffer because of the way they treat others? There's no kindness. There's no generosity. There's no forgiveness. There's judgment, criticism, and these kinds of things, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to grant repentance to us all, Lord, and let us forgive and love and have grace for one another. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I received this email yesterday, and I thought it was good. This brother said, many praises to God for the audio. Trust, not condemnation. What a release it is to realize the difference between obeying the New Testament legalistically, and I thought there was no such thing as that until now, and obeying by faith. Where this sets me free is in the area of slander and gossip. I hate that sin. I hate being the ears to a whisperer. And every time I realize that I am doing the very thing I hate again, I hear, remember, you're supposed to be stopping the gossip before it starts. I get to feeling guilty because there went another person with whom I failed to share the New Testament revelation that those in Christ do not slander or listen to slander. Now I realize how the power to overcome slander comes. God's work in me, grace. Through my faith in Christ's blood, his nature passed on to me so that overcoming slander just comes by nature and not by trying and trying and trying. What a breath of fresh air. Praise be to the King for sending this message to me through willing UBM vessels. The words that are in my spirit to say right now are, life will be given to those who give life. Amen. That is so true, you know. And this is a terrible problem in the church, a terrible problem. And so many people are living under judgment for it. And they don't realize. They think, I guess a lot of people do realize that living under the curse, they think it's normal, the normal Christian life, but it's not. And if they would only learn to give to others what Jesus gave to them, or that what Jesus wants to give to them, but can't because they're sowing such a bad seed that they're reaping a very terrible harvest. When I read this, I saw it's so true, you know, that people don't know how to get grace from God. It's not by picking yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not by your own ability or your own works, or gritting your teeth and working harder. It's by grace. And one way to get grace is give grace. Give unmerited favor and you'll get unmerited favor. You know, yeah, sometimes people don't deserve your kindness, but if you want it undeserved, you have to give it undeserved. And trust in God. He wants to be your Savior in all things. Amen. Well, let me read this to you. I felt like after reading this, the Lord tell me, show them what slander is. So I want to do that, okay? I'm looking at a Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament words here, and I'm looking up the word slanderer. And you'd be surprised, some of you, that the word slanderer is the word diabolos. You've heard the word diabolos before? It's the Spanish word for devil, isn't it? Well, it's more than the Spanish word for devil. It's actually the Greek word for devil. And when you see devil in the New Testament, that's what you're reading. Diabolos. Devil. It's also the same Greek word for accuser or slanderer. Diabolos. Kind of lets you know who the slanderer is, right? And if you're giving in to slander, guess who that is speaking through you? Diabolos. The devil. You know, he don't need any help, does he? Accusing the brethren, which he does to one another constantly. He doesn't want you giving grace to your brother. He doesn't want you forgiving your brother because he knows that's the only thing you're going to get. If you don't forgive and give grace to your brother, you're not going to receive those blessings from God, right? So let me read this to you. Slanderer, diabolos, an adjective, slanderous, accusing falsely. Is used as a noun, translated slanderers in 1 Timothy 3:11, where the reference is to those who are given to finding fault with the demeanor and conduct of others. So those who are constantly finding fault with others, criticizing others, you know, judging others, and spreading their innuendos of criticism in the church, as in 2 Timothy 3 and 3, where the AV is false accusers, and Titus 2 and 3. So, you see here that diabolos is the Greek word for accuser, devil, slanderer. That's the same New Testament word. And I think also the Chinese were credited with a very early diabolos. But actually, the earliest was the Greeks. They had it. But at any rate, another word that is very, very relative to slanderer is the word railer or railing, right? Let me read that to you. And it's the word, yep, blasphemio. It's the word for blaspheme. Now, you know, some people connect that only with God, but people are blasphemed. You know, they're spoken against, they're railed against, they're reviled. Young's Concordance, it says, injurious speaking, speaking that injures others. In other words, a slanderer, somebody who doesn't edify people with their words, doesn't build them up, don't give them strength to go on, don't give them grace, right? This is someone who injures or attacks people with their words. And it's fairly common in the church, but I have to tell you, it is the devil. It is the devil speaking through people. He doesn't want people to be built up. He doesn't want people to be strengthened. It is the devil. Now, I wanted to explain to you from the scriptures what slander actually is, and it is very broadly spoken about all the way through the scriptures in different forms. Railer, reviler, slanderer, you know, is spoken of very much. And first I want to lay just a little bit of a foundation so we can go to a lot of other scriptures, you know. But first I'd like to talk about Matthew 18, 15 through 17, which some of you know, and some of you probably know it by heart. But it's important that when we speak, it's not criticism for criticism's sake, and it's according to the law of God. When there is criticism, it has to come from God, not from us, right? And if you disobey the rules, guess who's speaking? Diablos is speaking. The devil is speaking. If you disobey God's commands concerning the correction of others, it's the devil talking out of you. Okay? Verse 15, it says, "And if thy brother sin," and I will tell you that "against thee" was added in there. There was no numeric pattern in it whatsoever. If your brother sins against you, you have to forgive him. So it actually said in the original, it says, "If thy brother sin, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone, alone, alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." God says alone, you and him alone. You go to him. You don't go to everybody else. You don't go straight to the church. You don't attack him to other brethren. You go to him alone. And if you as a brother or sister are being confronted by someone who wants to talk about someone else, tell them to go and talk to the brother. They are disobedient. And this is slander. This is not obedience to the word of God. All right? Okay? Tell them to do that. And he goes on to say, "And if he hears thee, thou hast gained thy brother." It's always good to talk to the brother because you may be making a mistake. You know? "But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." This is God's command. Now you can take with you another brother or two brothers to go and talk to this brother. And it's all for the purpose, of course, of delivering from his sin, to bring him to the place where he'll repent, right? And if you're not willing to do this, then shut up and go away. It's not your business. It is not your business to correct everybody. God is the Lord over his house. Everybody makes it their business to correct everybody else. If you can't obey the rules, then, and if you're not in a position to do that, to do this, and a position of respect, a position of an elder, or whatever is necessary, then don't do it. If you're not in a position to do it, don't even start down the road. Keep your mouth shut. Leave it up to somebody that God wants to use. Verse 17, "And if you refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church." The church is the third step, obviously. "And if you refuse to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a Gentile and a publican." This is the way that God uses to cleanse the church. It's also talking about sin. It's not talking about everything you want to talk about somebody. You got no business talking about somebody unless it's sin and unless you've gone through these steps. And if you're not going through these steps, be quiet. You'll bring judgment upon yourself. You are a slanderer. Be quiet. And we're also told, you know, I'll go back and read something. You know, it says two or three witnesses, right? Well, if you go to Deuteronomy 19:15, it says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity." Did you hear that? One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. Never. If you're being disobedient to the word, that's the devil talking. That's, you may be making yourself an authority and putting yourself in a position to correct others. But if you're disobeying the word, that's the devil talking. That's slander. "That at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established." Notice it said against a man. It didn't say elders here. It just said against a man. A man could not be condemned without witness of two or three people of sin. Of sin. Not what you may consider an irregularity, but of sin. And verse 16 says, "If an unrighteous witness rise up against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing," and this did happen with Jesus, didn't it? They actually got two witnesses, but they were unrighteous witnesses. Right? "Then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord." And it's so true, folks. If you're wrong, you are standing before the Lord. He will straighten it out. And many people have brought judgment upon themselves because they're disobedient to God's word and they're just slanderers. "Shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges that shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition And behold, if the witnesses be a false witness, and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he thought to do unto his brother. There are reasons why people slander others and falsely accuse others. And it's always selfish. It's always diablos. You know, it's always a hope for gain or jealousy or hatred. Or we'll find all this out from the scriptures concerning slander. It's all there so plainly. There are reasons for it. And if they're not obeying, you know it's the devil every time, speaking through them. As he thought to do unto his brother, so shall thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. So anybody that falsely accuses his brother, as the devil is known to do, then they're going to be judged with what measure they measure it out, according to what Jesus said. Didn't he say that? Mm-hmm. So, verse 20. And those that remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil in the midst of thee. Sounds like God really hates slander. And he does. Verse 21, and thine eyes shall not pity. Life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Well, of course, we don't dispense justice according to the law anymore, but what God is telling you is, as you would do unto others, so it shall be done unto you. God himself will do it. He will see to it it happens. If you judge and you slander another, God will see to it that you're judged for that. Okay? And of course, another verse, 1 Timothy, speaks about the two witnesses. And this is a very important verse too. It says in 1 Timothy 5 and 17, I'll just use 19. It says, against an elder receive not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. So we're talking about witnesses of sin. We're not talking about you just talking, gossiping about them, you know, or picking on them, or not giving them grace, or not forgiving them, or not loving them. You know, all these things will come back on you if you're disobedient. It says, against an elder receive not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. This is somebody that sees them sin. This is not internet gossip. You're not to take up a reproach against the brethren. You don't pick up internet gossip and pass it around. Those are sinners. That's diablos. That's a slanderer. So what he's saying here is, do not receive an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. Now, I know that people who are full of the devil, they're not going to pay any attention to the scriptures, but it's your responsibility, saint, to bring this to their attention. You are being disobedient. You are a slanderer. And another thing that's kind of related to this is 1 Timothy 5 and 1. It says, rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the older women as mothers, and the younger as sisters in all purity. So rebuke not an elder, right? So if you go outside the bounds of biblical speech in the New Testament, then you're getting into the area of just being a slanderer. It's not your business. You're sticking your nose in other people's business. You need to be obedient. In James chapter 2 and verse 13, we're told, for judgment is without mercy to him that has showed no mercy. Mercy glories against judgment. You know, we often give mercy to other people because we forgive them, because we may consider that they're doing the best that they can. And we, of course, want to put our faith with their faith so that they can overcome. We want to edify them. We want to build them up. There are people that are just hateful. They want to destroy people. They want to make themselves big at other people's expense. That's what they want to do. They want to be, they have a critical spirit and a judgmental spirit. They don't have faith for other people. They want God to let them go by faith, but they don't want to have faith for other people. In other words, Matthew 18, Jesus gave the parable of the king forgiving his servant a debt, a great debt, but his servant going out and not forgiving his fellow servant. And Jesus said that he turned this man over to the tormentors so that he would pay what was due. So shall your heavenly Father do unto you if you don't forgive everyone your brother from the heart, he says. So basically, there are a lot of people that do this. They don't forgive their brother. They judge their brother. And they don't understand why they live under a curse and why nobody respects them. And they sometimes desperately want attention and want respect, but nobody respects them because it's Diablos. And people have enough sense to know that. Good people get away from people like that. Bad people gravitate towards them. You know, in that way, birds of a feather flock together, you know. But if you don't have mercy, God is not going to have mercy upon you. I also like James chapter 4, it says in verse 11, it says, speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, you know, we are told, judge not, lest you be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Wow, that should make people tremble before the Lord. To be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, as the Bible says. But no, the wicked don't believe the Scriptures. So you can't convict them of the Scriptures. You can't convince them that what God says is true and what's going to happen is going to happen to them. You can't convince them. And so the judgment comes upon their soul and they become more and more and more reprobate as they go. And they don't realize they're destroying themselves with their own tongue. And the Bible talks about a tongue that's a fire that shall devour them. You know? He goes on to say, one only is the lawgiver and the judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judges thy neighbor? I agree. There's something very, very similar to this back in Romans 14. And then I'd like to look at some scriptures, a lot more scriptures. In Romans 14, listen to what he has to say here, folks. This is very important about judging others. You can't judge another person's discrepancies in doctrine if they're doing the best they can with what they've got. You can't judge them in that. We're not talking about gross heresy here. We're talking about differences of opinion over the Scriptures. We're supposed to give grace to other people, give them time to grow in to whatever they see in the Word. Romans 14:1 says, but to him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, yet not for decisions of scruples. In other words, not for doubtful disputations, not to argue with them, not to judge them. He that's weak in the faith, receive ye. One man has faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Now, of course, he's just using an example here, but what he's saying deals with everything. He's using an example here. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. What is the difference between talking about a false doctrine which has plundered the church or talking about an individual? There's a big difference. There's a big difference. It's right and correct, and the apostles and Jesus showed us the principle of speaking against false doctrines that destroy God's people. But judging individuals is a totally different thing. Be very careful. He's telling you to be very careful here. It says, let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, God's received him by grace. He didn't receive him because he was perfect. Are you perfect? Well, don't judge people that are not perfect unless you're perfect, because then God brings judgment upon you, right? Verse 4 says, who art thou that judges the servant of another? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. So that's where our faith needs to be, that God is able to make someone stand whose doctrine is fallen. Their doctrine isn't perfect. It isn't correct. So are you going out to judge somebody because their doctrine isn't correct? God's telling you, better mind your own business. You know, pray for the person. Give them grace. Give them time to grow. You didn't get there all at one time yourself. And you've got some things wrong yourself. So be very, very merciful towards God's people, and God will be merciful towards you. 14 and 5. For one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. In other words, do what your conscience tells you is right. Never offend your conscience. Don't judge others with your conscience. They are going to be judged by their conscience. And you can't be a judge of them because you don't know where they've been and you don't know where they're going and you don't know what the Savior and the Revelator has given unto them. And he doesn't give the same amount to everybody. Remember the parable of the talents? You don't give the same amount to everybody, but that person is only going to be judged by the amount that's given to them, as just as it is in the parable of the talents, you see. So be careful. When you're tempted to judge, be very careful, because you step out of line, you're going to be judged. And he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. None of us liveth unto himself, and none die unto himself. Whether we live, whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And who art thou that he had just got through saying, who art thou that judges the servant of another? To his own Lord he stands or falls. So these, I think, are some foundational principles that we can use when we look into this. What is slander? I think it's one of the most important things, and one of the biggest problems in the church today is slander. And what brings more judgment on people is slander. So I'd like to look at some verses here that they don't all use the word slander, but they're all talking about slander. First of all, slander is one of the things that God says is an abomination. Wow. That's not good. So, and I don't think people handle it as so dangerous, right? In Proverbs 6, let's look at verse 16. He said, there are six things which the Lord hateth, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him. An abomination. That's a particularly bad sin. Now, some people say that no sin is worse than any other sin. There's nothing in the Bible that says that, folks. That's just not true. Yeah, true. All sin is sin. But it's particularly wrong for you to think that some sins are not worse than others. That's just not true at all. It's not in the Bible either. Seven things which are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes. God can't stand a prideful heart, haughty eyes, a lying tongue. You know, a railing tongue is a lying tongue. A slanderous tongue is a lying tongue. It's not in agreement with the Word of God. It's not truth. It's diablos. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked purposes. And feet that are swift in running to mischief. There are some people that just love to attack others. They just love it. You know, you study these people, you'll realize that they live by criticizing others. They don't live by edifying others. They don't teach people how to love, how to walk as Jesus walked. They are very much legalists in their heart. They think they are the standard by which everybody is judged. And they live under a curse. And they'll never grow in God. And God will never use them in a righteous way as a vessel of honor. Okay. And verse 19, and a false witness that uttereth lies. Slanderer is a liar. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. God wants peace and harmony. You know how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, the Bible says. But this is an abomination. People that stir up strife in the church, divide people for the sake of gaining authority over people, bringing people under them. If God doesn't put people under you, don't try to get them under you by a competitive spirit, by making yourself better than others, by judging everybody else. You're bringing a curse on yourself if you bring God's people under your authority and put them in your sheep pen. Right? Jesus came to set the captives free from people like that. And he's going to do it. The righteous will be delivered. And slandering is totally forbidden by God. I'm going to look in Exodus 23 in verse 1. All through the Bible, you're going to find these kinds of exhortations. He said, "Thou shalt not take up a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Notice, who is the slanderer? They are the wicked. They are abominable. Don't be as one of them, God is saying. Don't be an unrighteous witness. Somebody who is not in agreement with the Scriptures. God made these commands for us to live by, to make peace in the church, to make sure that the wicked don't come in and divide people after themselves. You remember what Jesus spoke about and what Paul spoke about the falling away that was coming to the church because the wolves were going to come in to divide the sheep after themselves. How do they do that? They usually pick something out that they think is most important to point out that this other person is not believing this or not doing this or whatever. They pick something out like that to make themselves to be very important. And of course, it's always for a selfish reason to bring division. You know, the denominations are a weird thing. You know, they grow just so big and then they kind of explode and fall all apart and scatter into several denominations that do the same thing. But a denomination is a work of the flesh. Anytime somebody makes themselves to the church very important because of what they believe in a certain area, that's just the spirit of denominationalism. That's what starts all denominationalism. The Lord said, "I pray that they may be one as we are one." So it was the wolves that divided the flock, not the super spiritual. The super spiritual are out there loving the people, not making separations. You know, they may go into denominations and speak to people and love people and share what they can share there. And sometimes you can't share very much because they're very judgmental and sectarian in spirit. But at least the division is not in the heart of the righteous. It's in the heart of the wicked. And slander is in the heart of the wicked. There needs to be repentance. Also, I'd like to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, where he has a lot to say about the tongue and speech. We'll start in verse 29. It says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear." You know, is your speech just critical for critical purpose so that you put a critical spirit in other people? That happens. If you sit under a critical minister, you'll have a critical spirit. It'll get in your home. It'll destroy your lives. If you do it, you won't be able to avoid it. And you wonder, why is this happening in my house? Why is all this confusion? Well, if you're sitting under criticism all the time, that's what's going to be in you. You know, Jesus said the words that he speaks are spirit and life. Everybody's words do something. Everybody's words are spirit. It's a manifestation of their spirit. That's what words coming out of them are. And if you want that person's spirit, then just sit there and listen to them. It will come over you. You know, every cult out there, the people begin to act and speak just exactly like the cult leader. And, you know, our standard is Jesus Christ. Our standard is the Word of God. These principles that we're commanded to do, we must obey. So when he says corrupt speech, he's talking about somebody that's not being in obedience to the principles that we've looked at and many more. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, or the building up of the need. See, what we're speaking for is to build up the people of God, not tear down the people of God. If you're only tearing down, if somebody comes to you and the only thing you've got is to tear down, you're not building up the body of Christ, and that's Diablo. Okay? Edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. So, you know, you want to have the favor of God when you listen to people. And when you share with people, you want to give them the grace of God, right? You're not here to destroy. And verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, all of these are reasons for slander. Every one of these cause slander. Much slander is because of anger and bitterness towards others, or jealousy and selfish ambition. That's always behind Diablos, right? Anger and clamor and railing, speaking against others, right? Be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. So put away all malice, all evil speaking, and all anger, and all these things, and speak in such a way as to give grace to people, all people. And you're not the judge, and I'm not the judge. The Lord is the judge, right? And be ready. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If you want God to be that way towards you, right? We want God's mercy, we have to give God's mercy. We want God's grace, we have to give God's grace. Another thing, Romans chapter 1, verse 29. And it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. And he calls them here whisperers, backbiters, whisperers. And backbiters, hateful to God. I dare say many people don't think they're being hateful to God, but remember what Jesus said. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You can't treat God's children in a false and an evil way without treating him that way. These children are in his heart. They belong to him. He is their Lord, he is their judge, and he's given them grace because they have faith. Sure, they've got many things wrong, as lots of children do, and very immature in a lot of things, but they're God's child, and it's his grace that claims them. He is giving them mercy rather than law, rather than justice. Would you rather have mercy or justice? You know, justice, of course, is very blind to where a person is at a certain age or maturity or anything like that. Justice is just justice. And it's true that some people will get justice because that's all they want to hand out is justice. They don't want to hand out grace, which is unmerited favor. Of course, God desires earnestly to give us all grace. But if we judge, we're not going to get that. So he says they're whisperers, they're backbiters, they're hateful to God, insolent, haughty, and boastful, inventors of evil things. And, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 20, it says, for I fear, lest by any means, when I come, I should find you not such as I would, and should myself be found of you, such as you would not, lest by any means There should be strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, backbitings, whisperings, all things that motivate and are a part of slander. Swellings, tumults. So he didn't want to find them in that way. You know, one of the reasons for slander is factions. It is to cause division. People want to use things that are contrary to the commands of the Lord. They don't have two witnesses, and they don't care. But they want to use it to divide people unto themselves. That's what faction is, causing divisions among the brethren. Selfish purposes. And if they had you, what would they do with you? They would turn you into someone just like them. And if you weren't just like them, they would throw you out. So pay attention, folks. When people are jealous and they're striving and they're speaking against others for the purpose of gaining a following, that's diablos. That's slander. And turn away from them. Don't listen to them. If you listen to them, you're partaking of their evil. You're just as guilty as they are. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 4, I'm going to back up to 3. It says, "If any man teacheth a different doctrine and consenteth not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up." See, when you can't get someone to admit that the scriptures are correct and that what they're doing is contrary to the word, they're puffed up. They think they are God. They think they know more than God and that they should not submit to the clear black and white writings of scripture. He is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questionings and disputes of words. Do you ever see people do that? Oh, they argue about this little knick-knack doctrine and that other little knick-knack doctrine, and they make it something that is supposed to be dividing the brethren. These are wicked people. They know nothing. They are just puffed up. They think they're somebody, you know, disputing about words and you have to dot your I and cross your T just exactly right with them, or they'll rail at you. And he says, "Whereof comes envy, strife, railings, blasphemio, and evil surmisings." What does that mean, evil surmisings? It means to suppose or to conjecture, you know. Many people, they always say, "It's the word of the Lord. The Lord told me." And you know what? You're not supposed to receive what they say the Lord told them about somebody. But there's not two witnesses of sin. That's just conjecture. That's just supposition. That's just something that spoke in their mind. It's diablo. It's not the Lord. If you're disobeying the commands of Scripture, it's diablos. It's not the Lord. They say it's the Lord. Of course, everything that comes to them is the Lord, you know. But they're just railers. And they have evil surmisings. They're thinking things about people. They're thinking evil of people when they've got no proof. And by the way, when the Bible says, "Receive not an accusation except out of the mouth of two or three witnesses," it says witnesses. You don't receive an accusation in your mind either. The devil would love to speak through other people and cause you to accept things against a brother or a sister. But sometimes he just speaks in your mind. And you're still not to receive it. You want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Just like you want it, right? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, right? Have mercy. God will have mercy upon you. So, when people are arguing over doctrines, we just noticed in Romans 14 that you are not to judge God's children about their doctrines. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us you're supposed to judge those that are within when they fall into willful sin, immorality. That's when you judge them, not about their doctrines. You don't argue. You know, there are people out there that argue about the oneness in the Trinity. We don't need to argue about that. We can study the truth, but when we apply them to people, individuals, we have to be very careful. It's good to study the truth as long as you stick with the Word, and you don't have to come into agreement exactly with your brother on that. He's got a right to believe what he's believing. God will let him believe what he's believing until he shows him something better. To his own Lord, he stands or falls. He shall be made to stand, for the Lord has power to make him stand. In other words, God has faith for him. You have faith for him. Don't make him submit to your doctrine. Let him grow at his own rate. And so those that are puffed up, they dispute about words. They argue about doctrines and things. They don't just share and let the other brother receive what he will receive. Instead, they want to condemn him into fitting their mold. They have no grace. They don't know about grace. They don't know about faith. They're puffed up. And the Lord says, you know, turn away from such people as this. They're just going to bring destruction in your life, and their evil ways will be, you know, in you. In Leviticus 19, I want to read this to you. Verse 16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. In other words, a tattletale. Somebody that's bringing the report of the brother down the road, you know, to someone else. And, of course, it's usually slander because they're not necessarily bringing praise about the brother. This is talking about tattletaling on what they think are the brother's problems, you know. You know, and some people even use prayer to do that. They will use their prayer to tattletale on someone else, you know, so that everybody knows, but they hide it under a disguise, you know, that they think is righteous. We're going to pray for brother so-and-so, you know. Well, you just go on home and pray for brother so-and-so. You know, if everybody there knows the problem and he has confessed his problem, you're not there to confess your brother's sins. That don't do any good. He's got to confess his own sins, right? But if you've come together and he's confessed his sins, that's a good thing. Pray for him. He would appreciate that, you know. But just to go and talk about him, that's just tale-bearing. It's just babbling. That's just slander, you know. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I think it is. Let me see. Yes, chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, if the serpent bite before it is charmed, then there is no advantage in the charmer. Or the enchanter is no good, as some versions say. You know, some people are just so blunt with other people that they're not really looking for that person's favor. They're not trying to charm their old flesh and to be kind to them and to help them overcome and so on and so forth. Instead, they're just very blunt with people. You know, the Bible talks about, in verse 10, it says, if the iron be blunt and one do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, you know, you can't enter a log with a dull axe. It bounces out. And so you got to enter on a very narrow edge. Some people want to enter into discussions with other people on a very broad, unknown edge. And they don't realize you can't do that. He'll find too much that is in disagreement with him, and it'll just bounce. You know, but if you narrow it down, let's just talk about little things and cover them good instead of a lot of things and cover them bad. You know, the Lord taught me years ago that if you want to enter into a discussion with a brother that you haven't talked to before, do not enter on too broad a subject, especially a subject that you're not willing to cover completely before you leave that brother, because the first thing you can do is make an enemy. And so enter a subject on a very narrow. Some people want to go to the strangest thing. They just think, oh, I bet they ain't heard about this. And they run off on in the strangest direction, something that a brother has not received a foundation to receive. You know, that's foolishness. That's just foolishness. You know, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. They give grace, according to verse 12 here. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. You know, some people, they slam the door in their own face when they're trying to, supposed to be edifying another brother. Or they don't care. They're just in it for themselves. So they come across with the greatest, deepest wisdom that they have, never minding that they're probably just going to offend their brother because they're not being careful for him, you know. So sharpen your axe, you know, when you talk to someone, and charm the serpent, the old flesh. You know, you can't, if you can't get by that serpent, you know, you're wasting your time. You're going to make an enemy, and there's no need in it, you know. Talk about things that you can agree with until you trust one another, and then go to deeper things gradually as you've laid a foundation. Don't just be very blunt with people and cause division and strife. And don't forget, your brother may have not learned how to edify you either. So you have to be careful for people. God wants us to be careful for people. He doesn't want us to offend people needlessly. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we don't need to offend people needlessly. We need to try to give grace to everyone. And verse 13 says, and withal they learn to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. Tattlers. In other words, it's kind of like a talebearer. Tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So, people that are idle, you'll notice that people that are idle have too much time on their hands. They can go around and stir up the most strife. And while another brother may be working very hard to serve the saints, and they've got nothing to do, and they're jealous, and they're striving, and so they're the ones that are most likely to slander, you know, to speak against the brother. They're not edifying, they're not building up, they're not teaching, they're criticizing, and God's judging them. And it's easy for anybody that's spiritual to see that God's judging them by looking at their nature and looking at the lack of grace in their life. Well, we've got a lot more things to talk about concerning this, and I think it'll be really good to look at a bunch more scriptures, but we're running out of time. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you for grace. We ask you, Lord, to make peace with our brethren. We ask you, Lord, to let us all grow together, accepting the grace that we need for ourselves and for others. Let us have faith for others as we have faith for ourselves. Let us desire mercy and grace for others as we desire it for ourselves. And let us sow it so that we may have it in ourselves. And Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name, let there be peace among your people. And let the wicked who will not obey go their own way, Lord. Separate us, Lord, from the wicked who desire not to submit to your word, who are puffed up and proud and arrogant, and they will not submit to your word. Please give us the grace, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know you're going to separate the wheat from the tares in these days, and we know why. It's very obvious. They have caused stumbling, as you said in Matthew 13. And you said you would remove them from your kingdom for causing stumbling. Amen. Well, God bless you, saints. We'll do this again.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus.